You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Hey, we get to head to Concordia University, Wisconsin today. Well,
we're going
to chat with them. I don't think we get to go there physically, but we get to chat with our friends from Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. And we're so grateful for their support of The Coffee Hour as well. Joining us today, Dr. Eric Ankerberg, president of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Ankerberg, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Also joining us today, Dr. Stephen Taylor, Vice President of Innovation and Chief of Staff of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Taylor, welcome.
Thank you for having us on.
And the Reverend Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, Vice President of Mission and Church Relations at Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Moldenauer, welcome.
Thank you. Very glad to be here with you today.
Well, I'm excited to talk about Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor today, a university with two campuses right here in the beautiful Midwest, covering Wisconsin and Michigan. Excited to dig into this conversation, learn more about what's going on with Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. What is the mission of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor?
Sure. Well, I'll start us off with that, and then we can start talking about the relationship between the two campuses. The mission statement of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor is to help students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and in the world, something we live out across both campuses, and very excited to do it in person as well as online.
So let's talk about that relationship between the two campuses. When did Concordia University Ann Arbor become a part of Concordia University Wisconsin?
Sure. Hey, thank you for asking that. Officially, Concordia University Ann Arbor became a legal branch campus of Concordia University Wisconsin on July 1st, 2013. Our relationship with the two campuses probably goes back as far back as about 2009. Our relationship with them started initially as two partners, a school that was struggling, a school that was doing a little better. And we started conversations about enrollment, admissions, financial aid. And that relationship continued to grow and grow and grow until a certain point it was decided that maybe some sort of legal connection was a better way to go. That took a couple years to actually happen. And in that process, it's probably about 2 years working with the Department of Ed, working with the state of Michigan, working with HLC, it finally became official at July 1st, 2013.
And that is no simple task.
No,
it really wasn't. And if you follow higher ed, you see that there's all kinds of mergers and acquisitions going on now all over the country. And there's consultants and there's tools and resources. And we were really one of the first ones to do that. And so as we worked with, for instance, the Department of Education, they didn't even know how to advise us. And we were in a lot of ways ahead of the curve in that way. And that's, I think, part of the reason it took so long for us to complete it.
So one university, two campuses. What's unique about each of the campuses?
Yeah, thank you. So it is one university, but the two campuses differ. I mean, obviously, we're on opposite sides of Lake Michigan. It's just a basic starting point. But when you look at the student body makeup, you find differences across the two campuses. Wisconsin has a higher percentage of graduate students. Ann Arbor has a higher percentage of student athletes, which comes with some challenges across higher ed these days. And each campus has its own unique history that we're seeking to honor and continue to live out the best of what's been done for Lutheran education across each campus.
How does that relationship play out then? I mean, you were talking about the two campuses in two different states, talking about how even that merger was difficult. So how does that relationship work for staff and for all three of you and for the students?
I'll start and I'll ask my colleagues to jump in. First of all, I think this relationship started and is lived out in generosity and a desire to continue ministry and work throughout the church. And it's been a blessing to extend Ann Arbor's work for 10 years. And it's really a remarkable story in higher education to be able to do that. It's a complicated thing to live out. Ann Arbor's work is probably about 20% of the university's total efforts educationally. But we are, as administrators, back and forth across Lake Michigan frequently. I'm usually in Ann Arbor monthly, for example. Most of the administrative work is carried out through the Wisconsin campus. And most of the programs are centered here as well, although it depends on the accreditation. So there are differences with nursing, for example, that has more of a localized accreditation in the state of Michigan to carry out its work. So I'd start there.
Yeah, and I would say there are some things that are done independently on both campuses. Each school is a member of a different athletic conference and organization. There's some legal things that were unique. For instance, some of our submissions of things like the Clery Report, which is higher ed's notification of crime statistics for a campus, for instance. But there's a lot of things that were combined, like, for instance, our overall accreditation. So it's a complex kind of interaction between the two and trying to know when are there a certain sense of independence and where is it part of the larger organization. It's required a lot of travel between the campuses. And thank goodness we're doing it now with where we are with technology, with video conferencing. If it wasn't for that, it'd been a lot more complicated.
How do you see each campus living out the mission that we talked about just a little bit ago? What are the things that are unique about how each campus carries out that mission of Concordia University?
Well, I can speak to that. I think when you look at, say, the student body makeup, you see different differences in the cultures across the two campuses with the number of athletes at Concordia Ann Arbor. So a lot of the mission there is focused around the athletes and the coaches. And we have that on the Mequon campus as well, but with a lower percentage of student athletes, it branches out into more directions here on this side of the lake too. I mean, both campuses are committed to Christ-centered education. And you know, that's a consistency and mission that we are working to continue into the future on each campus, that no matter what we do, we don't want to do like higher education with some Christianity alongside of that, find ways to make sure that our Christian faith is interwoven into everything that we do. And that's a mission that we want to continue on both campuses well into the future.
And I'd add that a commonality is a commitment to church work programs across both campuses, something we want to continue in the future in Ann Arbor, even though there are some changes going on. And there's a constant effort for us to make sure that we're faithful to what the church calls us to be. And that's an enhanced conversation as we're living under some different frameworks through the LCMS. And that's a good thing. And it's also, there's an invitation to keep striving for us to do that best work together and to be asking, how can we be reflective about that and collaborative around that work?
What are some of the challenges that each campus faces because of many of the things that you've touched on a little bit already, but what are those challenges at each campus?
Well, I think the greatest difficulty, as with all of higher education today, has to do with challenges around enrollment and finances. And that's something that certainly your listeners have heard a lot about. And it is a primary challenge for both campuses, but it's a little different at both campuses. So at the Wisconsin campus, our financial challenges over the past several years have really been around a misalignment, if you will, between staffing and the number of students that we're serving and what areas where we're serving students. So we've had to, in the past several months, pursue a reduction in force at this campus to, and I hate the language of right-sizing, et cetera, but a very challenging time to address a financial shortfall, a structural deficit tied to this campus through that work of the realignment of staffing. At Ann Arbor, it's a more complicated story. It is true there's been some enrollment growth, and that's a wonderful gift. One of the challenges of that enrollment growth has been that it's been mostly tied to athletics. And for us to serve an athlete is a very expensive proposition. That's true at both campuses. But because of the sheer size of athletics at the Ann Arbor campus, we're spending probably $7,000 to $8,000 a year per student more to serve an athlete than we are a non-athlete student. And what's happened because of the scaling and some of the other infrastructure issues at that campus, any dollars we're generating in revenue, we're spending. And so we're not able to create any sort of margin there. And so there's just an escalating cost structure that is really in this moment impossible with the current resources, the current campus, to overcome that.
And if I could follow up on that, I mean, something that's not obvious if you're not deep in the weeds in higher ed is that increasing enrollment is not necessarily an indication of financial health. And across the last decade plus, higher ed enrollment among undergraduates is down some 2 million students across the United States, which leaves colleges and universities competing for students. If you look at the demographics, we're going to have smaller incoming classes in the years to come, which just makes the competition even more fierce. And the way that the competition is done is by writing down tuition. So we've seen examples here, neighboring institutions that have closed. And when you do the autopsy, you realize they closed because they were discounting tuition to such a rate that they were losing money on every student. And in the last decade, somewhere between 80 and 90 institutes of higher education across the United States have closed. It's not hard to find predictions that that will continue. So just, you know, increasing enrollment is a blessing, but if you are spending more to educate each undergraduate than you're collecting from them in tuition, that's not a long-term path to financial health. One of the particular challenges on the Ann Arbor campus is a smaller number of dorm rooms relative to the size of the athletic programs. So one way to offset that tuition discount is to make up revenue through room and board fees, but we're limited in what we can do because of the smaller number of beds on the Ann Arbor campus.
Yeah. And some people have suggested we could just build dorms or have an outside partner build dorms. And it's commonly referred to as a leaseback option. The problem with that kind of model is that we won't see any revenue from that for 20 years. So it's not an easy solution. And we've really struggled to find a financial model for the Ann Arbor campus over time that would solve this structural deficit gap. That campus has lost $4 to $5 million a year, each year for 10 years. And at first, our efforts were focused around, could we use centers and remote education, remote centers for educating post-traditional students? Then the world changed and everything went online. And then we went to a model of, could we recruit athletes? And we've really lived in a space of escalating costs to serve those athletes and an inability to generate revenue to support that. So that's the kind of difficult situation we find ourselves in, that we have brought over $90 million to the Ann Arbor campus over the past 10 years, and we still are struggling with multi-million dollar deficits annually. And we need to find a way to strengthen the university and be in a position where we're not losing those kinds of resources annually.
I mean, the only thing I would add, we have two states, Michigan and Wisconsin, that essentially are shrinking. Our populations are shrinking. There's not a lot of people to begin with. And they keep talking about the cliff, like the demographic cliff. And we certainly are seeing that. There's just fewer total number of high school graduates. And there's more and more open seats. And we're going to see, like Aaron had already mentioned, a shrinking of higher ed in the upper Midwest. And that will continue for some time.
We're talking with administration from Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor today, learning more about what higher education looks like today and some of the challenges faced by higher education. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we're talking with President Eric Ankerberg of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor, along with Dr. Stephen Taylor, Vice President of Innovation and Chief of Staff for Concordia University, and the Reverend Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, his Vice President of Mission and Church Relations for Concordia University. So we've talked about some of the challenges that we face on both campuses, Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor, and certainly the financial challenges facing with Concordia University, Ann Arbor. What does this mean then for the Ann Arbor campus moving forward?
It's a great question. I'll start and I'll ask my colleagues to jump in. We've made four commitments to this campus, to the state of Michigan, to continue our work there. So first of all, we want to be in Michigan carrying out ongoing work as a Lutheran university there. We want that work to be missional, to be focused on how do we reconstruct our church work programs and carry out anything we're doing in a way that celebrates and honors our relationship to the church. We want to do high quality work, especially as one looks at our healthcare programs there. There's some incredible strength in terms of the quality of the students, the faculty, the outcomes. We want to pursue that and extend that if at all possible. And probably the key thing and the hardest thing to admit is we need a model that is sustainable over time, where we are not losing millions of dollars each year, and we are able to say we have addressed the financial model issue and we're moving forward long-term into the future, serving locally and regionally Christians who want faith-based, high-quality education.
Right. And I think our vision for the future, especially in Ann Arbor, is to build on the legacy of Lutheran liberal arts education. I mean, that goes all the way back to 16th century Wittenberg. You can find Luther writing eloquently on the value of education and preparing Christian citizens to serve. I mean, our mission statement put it, you know, to serve Christ in the church and the world. And Luther didn't use that vocabulary, but he certainly has those ideas. That includes the liberal arts tradition on the Ann Arbor campus, which has gone through various iterations through the years. So we're looking there to see, you know, what can we continue or even recover from things that are no longer going on there as part of this. We're exploring partnerships with various institutions, which might offer students, you know, a broader range than they're getting now as a way to do that and do it in a way that's financially sustainable as well. So it's really an opportunity. I mean, among the other things we're exploring there is a three-year undergraduate model as a path forward for students. I mean, just one of the obvious low-hanging examples of why that would be a good thing is if pre-seminary students come for 3 years at Ann Arbor, this cuts a year off of their education and gets them out into the parish serving Christ in the church and the world faster. So, you know, it's a way to look on that campus at how we can, you know, reimagine what mission looks like in 21st century America. I'll also add that we're looking at emphasizing apologetics there. You know, that's something that increasingly Christians are faced with in today's world, is explaining the reason for the hope that they have, as we read we're called to do in 1 Peter. So how can we best equip students to do that? Where our hope is that we will end up with a program that is unique across higher education and attract students who are looking for that sort of deeply Christian Lutheran liberal arts education.
Yeah, so really four pathways of education going forward. One would be what we're continuing, our healthcare programs, which are very strong. A second would be our online programs, which run across our schools and again are high quality. A third would be an intentional focus on reconstructing church work programs there. And then a fourth would be a legacy liberal arts major, perhaps 3 years, with a focus on recapturing that legacy of the liberal arts at that campus. One of the big changes that's very challenging is walking away from athletics. And some of this is just drawing back the campus to its core work and saying, what can we do that is our best and highest calling work and build back? And let's start with something that is smaller, more condensed, if you will, and focused, and then we'll rebuild.
What do you want current students and prospective students to know about Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Concordia University, Wisconsin, looking forward? I mean, both into the very near future, you know, next spring and next school year, but also further into the future for students that are currently at the university and and looking forward into the future?
I'd start with, we're not closing the campus, and that's because we want to do excellent work there. It's a terribly important thing for people to hear. Secondly, two words that come to mind. One is empathy. I understand as well as anyone the challenges, the frustrations, the anger, frankly, around the changes to the campus and its future. It's very frustrating to have these disruptions and these changes come into people's lives. And I think we as a university need to do everything we can to bring empathy and support for affected faculty, staff, students as they transition and figure out whether staying and completing or moving to a different phase of life is something that they have to pursue. So that's a huge commitment for us. But a second thing is accountability. We need to be accountable to the church. We need to be accountable to one another. We need to be accountable for the finances of the university and use our resources in a responsible way. And everything we are doing with all of these difficult decisions is so that we can have the strongest future possible for both campuses, and so that we can have a future in which we are doing excellent work at both campuses that is financially sustainable and that we're very proud of.
And I'll just add there, I mean, for current students, we are deeply committed to their success. And so, as President Ankerberg just mentioned, is highlighting this. And our staff, our faculty is working with each one to identify their best path forward, whatever that might look like. But we are not walking away from them. We understand it's difficult. We appreciate how hard these decisions are for them. We're also doing everything we can to support them and make sure that they complete their degree.
You've presented some innovative ideas for the future of Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. What's the next step in further developing that vision for the university?
We are bringing a proposal to the Board of Regents mid-November that we hope to be able to talk about publicly after that meeting that allows us to frame these four educational pathways, as well as provides hopefully a sustainable financial model through some partnerships with outside friends of the university. So that's really the next stage, is let's plan this well, bring that to the regents, and then bring it to the church and the community and get some feedback. And hopefully we're able to be moving forward relatively quickly. Although I think the changes that we're looking at, it will take years. I mean, that is also something where we want to be wise stewards of the resources that we have and the partnerships that we're trying to develop. And that will not be something that's quick.
How can listeners or people who really want to know more, is there a way for listeners to reach out with questions or to learn more about all of this? I know these are big topics, and I've heard a lot of conversation just myself in my own circles. So how can people learn more about what's happening and maybe reach out with questions?
Oh, that's great. We do have some resources on the university webpage around presenting questions to the university's leadership. I think contacting my office is always a good place to start. We will be living out a more comprehensive communication plan around the future of the campus after mid-November. And there'll be a lot of opportunities for feedback. We're also trying to be available, whether that's on campus or at events in Michigan and South Wisconsin and North Wisconsin districts, to really be in front of people and to talk about the challenges that we're facing, as well as to try and bring hope that we have that, and a strong desire that the Lord will continue to bless our educational mission long into the future.
Our guest today, Dr. Eric Ankerberg, President, Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Ankerberg, thanks for being our guest.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Stephen Taylor, Vice President of Innovation and Chief of Staff for Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Taylor, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And the Reverend Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, Vice President of Mission and Church Relations for Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Dr. Moldenauer, thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sarah. It's been a joy to talk to you here this morning.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.